one heavy and echoing step after the other, over the oily ebon sand towards the great citadel that was his objective. At the edges of his supremely genhanced vision, the Reaper of Men was aware of his Praetorians marching in lockstep with him, each at a distance of 7 by 7 paces, all carrying their weapons across their chests in a blank mirror of his own aspect. Held at rest against one of his shoulders was a skeletal scythe that was sooty with dried blood and tainted fluids. His other gauntleted hand wandered often to the heavy, drum-like shape of a unique, master-crafted energy gun hanging at his hip. Like the warrior himself, everything about his weapons was beyond human scale, built for the grasp of giants and demigods. Even his chosen guard, huge as they were, could not match his scale. Only two beings had ever stood taller than the Reaper of Men. The first had died at the hands of the second. As to the fate of the second, in time, that question would be answered. The old bitter ember stirred anew at the thought, but the giant stifled it before it could grow. Such things were a distraction. His mind was supposed to be here, at the march through Inix's polluted dusk, not picking at this deep-rooted, forever unhealed wound. There would be time enough to nurse his lingering hate in the days ahead. He cast a glance over his shoulder plates. Out past his hooded bodyguards, marching in lines behind them, came the body of his warband. Battle captains and commanders, the striding forms of dreadnoughts and terminators, and rank after rank of legionaries in grimy, slate-coloured armour. He advanced with them at his heels, for they would never dare to march into battle without him at their head, even on as pitiful a killing ground as this one. His legion. His death guard. His unbroken blades. They were all that occupied him now. His sons were the only thing he saw clearly, as the haze of the great insurrection led by his brother seemed to coil ever thicker around every deed, every thought in mind of the Reaper of Men. With his warriors in battle, he came closest to clarity, or something like it. He marched on, into the twilight and towards the great shadow cast by the citadel. The tallest structure for kilometres in every direction, it protruded from a great axial canyon that ringed the upper hemisphere of Inix. Thousands of such depthless chasms fractured the planet's surface, vanishing into hellish pits kilometres deep where toxic smoke exhaled from the roiling core. The ashen matter vomited up from below was the source of the world's fortune, laden with rare and precious heavy metallic elements that the manufacturer of the Imperium sucked in and reprocessed. The refinery engines, lumbering city-sized arachnids of tarnished brass and grey iron, sat atop the richest of the vents for decades at a time, draining them dry before moving on to fresh pastures. Few places on Inix had any permanence except the great citadel, built on the ancient site of the planet's first colony landing. Formed of sapphire-dark stone dragged up from the abyssal depths, it was both palace and monument. The blocky, brutalist architecture of its design was as stark as a grave marker, its mere presence acting as a statement to the universe beyond. "We have built in this unlivable place and ripped out the riches at its heart," said the citadel. "We have done this in the name of the Emperor and Terror." The Reaper of Men had his orders to cast it down, of course, but Mortarion would do so more because he wanted to. Because to do so would be to destroy one more possession belonging to his absent father, and in the act find a few grains of satisfaction. Movement at the edge of his helm's autosenses brought the Primarch of the 14th Legion back to the moment, and he looked in the direction of the alert icon. Curious, he stepped off the line and wandered towards an impact crater blasted into the dense, clumped basalt sand. Behind him, he heard the clatter of 1,000 troops halting,